All right, part number four. We are back. The day is actually Juan's day now. We are continuing our series of ADJs. I'm hoping to get all these, the first three parts, and however many I record today, and our DEF CON 1 trips up. Hopefully tomorrow, hopefully on Thursday. We shall see. Definitely within the next few days. Now, we do have a lot to cover, some of it which has been demonstrated so you can see it in action on the BDZ Joe server, and some of which is going to be coming in the future, in the coming months, years, etc., as we build this thing out. What I want to touch on is this concept of valid replies and how that plays into the truth protocol, right? Or the truth social protocol, in a sense, right? So why in a sense? Well, one way to define the truth social protocol would be, the rules that we follow in order to create PB pop, right? Or ID pop, however you want to say it. Identity-based proof of publication. And so in that sense, the rules for creating a valid reply are certainly a part of the truth social protocol, right? Or the truth protocol. The sense in which it's not you could think of not a part of it would be in the sense that replies are not in blocks, in identity blocks, right? At least not directly. They certainly were never directly, but now what we've changed, they're going to be indirectly in sort of a blind attestation, right? Similar to how the cloud chain, in a sense, provides blind attestation. Now, the person who's enforcing this aspect of the truth protocol would be Root, right? The person who is choosing to include replies on their server because, obviously anyone can reply to anything outside of the Truth Social network, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the person who's being replied to, A, knows about it, or further, B, knows about it and chooses to acknowledge it, or C, knows about it, chooses to acknowledge it, and respond to it, right? But in the truth protocol, by choosing to acknowledge it and by putting it on your server, right, which gets indexed and is going to also have a timeliness due to the fact that it's indirectly included in the block, you are enforcing the truth protocol, right? And similar to the other aspect of the truth protocol, it's up to you to do, and it stands in and of itself. So sure, you're free to not follow it or adopt software, write software which doesn't follow it, and everyone would be able to easily see that, right? And we spoke about the difference between consensus in Bitcoin versus the consensus, or in a way, lack thereof, in the running of an identity blockchain node by non-roots, right? Or the other, right? This concept of the other. Anyone outside of root, considering the perspective of if you are root. So, and again, sort of a lack of consensus in the sense that in Bitcoin, consensus is formed in a decentralized manner as to the state of history, right? So history is what we collectively say it is by building on the tip of the blockchain, right? And how that gets sorted out over time, as opposed to on the Truth Social network, history is written by the roots and is maintained and made redundant by everyone running a node, an identity and cloud chain node, right? Because you're going to have both in reality of the root, right? So it's not like by running it, they are necessarily stating to the world, well, this is all right. It is more like by running a node, I am making the history of a certain content creator redundant and immutable, of which it stands in and of itself, truly is that history, except or unless there were any instances where a rule was not followed, thus it would be self-apparent, right? You see the difference. But the reality of this stuff all becoming software is that the rules will pretty much be unavoidably followed, right? So it's a different way of looking at things, which is more appropriate to what we are trying to create, right? And obviously, it goes back to those early conversations, as we said, whereas, like, the market is going to appreciate and value those who are following this intentionality that they want to create these historical records, right, and follow these rules, which by doing so, they are creating these historical records, right? So, to put the previous statement before differently, you could also say that if people are intentionally or even if not following the rules, or if they are even unintentionally, like largely not following them all the time, no one values that historical record, so why would they bother to put space on their server and make that so-called historical record redundant and immutable, or even, you know, mining it, right? Mining their cloud chain, right? Because it's like, what is the value in that? Because it's not truly a historical record. Now, where is the line between that all? I don't know. But again, in practice, it's all going to be following the rules, right? And the incentives are aligned as such. Now, so we have successfully added a timeliness to these replies, making them much closer to TSN references, right? But the key trade-off or difference here being that, well, if I'm going to be running an identity blockchain node, you know, if I'm a miner, just going to run the node, right? In addition to running a cloud chain, I'm not going to be running all these replies, right? I'm not going to be keeping a record of that. So with that in mind, it's like, sure, in practice, everyone's going to be following this aspect of the truth protocol and be able to validate it in terms of the other, right? And the audience can validate it the same way the root who's being replied to will only, you know, acknowledge and, you know, provoke discussion for only for replies which follow these rules. The trade-off being that while everyone knows that it came from who it came from and it came when it came, but you don't have as much assurance as the replyee that this thing is going to be stored online, accessible, right? Indefinitely for the rest of time, right? What if something happens to their server? Presumably, in practice, they will be, but you get the difference, right? That you have much greater assurances with references that are in blocks of historical records, right, which are maintained by all these nodes. Yet, of course, like any other social media as a replyee, you have the ability to store that yourself in your own personal storage. And or we've spoken about in the past how you could have ways to sort of publish that, so it stands the test of time, which gets into some of this server feed stuff, right? But in actuality, it's going to be server feeds are going to allow lightweights to create references, okay, which they have no ability to without these server feeds because they don't have a cloud chain nor a server, right? Two different aspects. Nor an identity blockchain, right? So I guess three different aspects. The cloud chain provides the timeliness, the identity blockchain provides the assurance that it will stand the test of time, and the server provides the accessibility, right? And storage, right? Of the actual data within, right? Whether that's just a text or a combination of text and files, right? So I want to move forward onto some of this other stuff, which is really interesting. Hold on. But one last key aspect to understand to the addition of this timeliness we've added to replies and this new set of rules, is this rule that basically says what you have to do as a replyee in order to follow the rules depends upon the timeliness of what you are replying to, okay? So, and if you were observant, you may have caught this already, but you know, Jay put me onto this one. This was brilliant, but essentially, if what you're replying to is what we could call current to give it a label, then you actually don't have to give an occurrence proof, okay? Now, why is that? You still need a timestamp, which is essentially just your own timestamp, right? Which you always have, but would have other rules given you had an occurrence proof, but you're just going to give your timestamp, and as long as it's accurate and as long as what you're replying to is current, then your reply will be accepted by root, right? And so, what does it mean to be current? Well, I think the way that this is going to work is basically that what you are replying to needs to have been included in an identity block, and yet, you know, at a minimum, yet it cannot be two block identity blocks deep, okay? So, in other words, you have to know that it's going to be a TSN reference, yet, in order for it to be current, you have to know that it hasn't been in an additional block after that has been established, okay? And so, why is this the case and why is it done like this? And so, really, by the way, what you're saying is basically, well, if you're replying to something current, you don't need to go through the trouble, or your software doesn't, right, of doing an occurrence proof, right? And hopefully, eventually, this is all gonna be, you know, things that the truth client is doing and really, you know, sort of like how Bitcoin Core was a wallet, and then in reality, everyone uses other wallets outside of Bitcoin Core, and then in reality, now you have the ability to sort of like plug them into Bitcoin Core. So, what I'm saying is, hopefully, eventually, whether directly or indirectly, lightweights will sort of have a truth client aspect that they could use to do these replies, which will sort of be grabbing these occurrence proofs from either directly from a blockchain or from, you know, whether it's plugging in from a actual blockchain node or from a blockchain explorer it will be software that's doing this, right? But certainly before that happens, the truth client is going to be for roots, right? But anyway, we digress. So if you are going to be, as a replyee, replying to something current, you actually don't need to provide an occurrence proof. And why is that? The reason being that, as we spoke about in our time talks, the same way that blockchains, as you know them, have a network time or a notion of time from the network standpoint, identity blockchains themselves actually, in a sense, have their own network time in terms of references. So, in other words, by replying to a reference that is current, or even a reply that is current, because you could say that a reply is in a block if it's in, it's indirectly in a block if it's in a CBR Merkle root, right? So same type of thing. So you could be replying to a current reference, or you could be replying to a current reply, right? And so due to the fact that by replying to either a reference or a reply that is either directly or indirectly in an identity block, you already have an occurrence proof that is being done, right? The same way, if I were to put a Bitcoin block hash, so if I put the Bitcoin block number and a Bitcoin block hash in a reference, it's an occurrence proof, right? It's actually a more accurate way to do an occurrence proof, because it would be impossible to ever predict the hash of a Bitcoin block in the future, right? The timestamp is practically impossible to continuously predict. Two different statements, right? To continuously exactly predict, right? Big difference. Yet, the important part being that it takes space in a reference, and for other reasons, we haven't chosen to do it like that at the moment, in terms of an occurrence proof in a TSN reference says the Bitcoin block number and the timestamp, right? Which is later really going to be the cloud chain block number and the cloud chain timestamp, but the concept still holds. This is the same action, or this action demonstrates the same thing. It's still an occurrence proof, as if you were to name Bitcoin block number or a cloud chain block number and the unique identifier being its block hash, okay? See what I mean there? So if you understand that, you understand that by replying to a current reply or a current reference, I have to include the reference ID, right? It used to be the signature, right? The TSN signature or the digital signature, right? But now it's a hash of the digital signature, which is called the reference ID, right? I suppose you could call it a reply ID and the other one, but they're really the same thing. And we're going to get to that. So really, it's a reference ID. They're all going to be reference IDs from the sense of posts, which we're jumping ahead later, right? What the hell is a post? We'll get to that. In other words, they're all going to be things that can be referenced, the action, right? The action of referencing. They're all going to be IDs which can be referenced in the Truth Social network. So in that sense, whether it's an actual TSN reference ID, a reply ID, or even a post ID, these IDs are creating a unique identifier that can be referenced, okay? And so by in a reply, or by replying to something current, which necessitates you including the reference ID, no matter what is being replied to, you are already doing an occurrence proof. Okay? Now, why does it matter that it's current? Well, the whole design of all these time rules are sort of checks and balances, right? And in reality, people would be, you know, giving fairly accurate timestamps anyway, but these are just checks that really ensure more for posterity, or demonstrate for those in posterity that there was a timeliness at the time that these references and replies were created, right? So, in other words, you have these two dynamics, these two ends of the pole of occurrence proofs and existence proofs that keep, or these checks, these two different ends of the spectrum, these checks that keep things accurate and timely. So getting back to it, the reason that it matters whether what you're replying to is current is because, well, obviously, when you put your social media hat on, like, sometimes I'm some other, right, or whatever, it's just from broader social media perspective, I may find some tweet or YouTube video or whatever it is that happens to be interesting from 3 years ago, okay, and may want to respond to it today. So the reason that is important to understand in this context with the truth protocol is because if I'm creating a reply to something from 3 years ago, sure, there is an occurrence proof in the sense that it came after this thing from 3 years ago, right? But that's not exactly ensuring a timeliness to these replies. If you could just only provide your own timestamp no matter what the timeliness was of the thing you were replying to, you see? So now, as long as you're replying to something current, which if you're doing it in real time, there's a decent chance you could be, right? If you're replying to like someone who's putting out something in real time and there's like interaction in that sense, there's a chance you could be. But really, this is going to be software which determines it, okay? Now, by talking about this stuff in this ADJ, right, it brings certain things to light that I may or may not have thought of but might have forgotten about, so that's a good thing, which is such that, so, in thinking about it from people interacting in real time, you know, if you're interacting in real time, you're probably going to be replying to something which is in a candidate block, right, but is not in an identity block yet. So it provokes the question of, well, wouldn't it be better, or can't you just consider that a current reference, right? And the answer is, the downside of that, or risk of that, is that, well, you don't know that it's going to be in a block, but this is sort of like, well, someone could always delete their tweet, right? So in terms of a reference that's in a candidate block, there's that similar dynamic to all other social media. Well, then you reply to something that says tweet deleted or something like that, right? But so by thinking about that, it almost makes me say that, well, maybe just replying to even something in a candidate block could be considered current, right? Because if it gets in a block, then it has this timeliness. And if it doesn't get in, then, you know, who cares? Like, it's like you were replying to something that didn't get in a block anyway, right? So, you know, less important than where we ultimately decide to draw the line is the concept, right? And the distinction between the two and understanding these trade-offs. Because again, things the way things are now, it's absolutely ridiculous to think about that in terms of how things are gonna be and how things should be designed according to how things are gonna be, right? Because when all this stuff is software, then you're going to have an extremely high probability that something that is in a candidate block is going to become a reference, right? It's ultimately going to be in an identity block, right? In the identity blockchain. Now, of course, in the same breath, sure, while it's not a big deal how these lines are, how we decide these lines are drawn and when they are drawn, but of course it is important that they are drawn and that they are clear and understandable to all, which they eventually will be when everything is considered, right? Which brings me to our next topic of the day and gives me a good segue into it, which is this topic of how we have basically added the ability to run a directory, so to speak, right? So there's going to be directories that I have created which are going to be refined and clarified and so forth, and then there's going to be the ability for others to contribute to updating or upgrading the rules and the language and the explanations of these directories, right? Sort of like get truth, right? And then there's also the ability to run someone else's directory, which you're necessarily going to be doing if you're not me, right? Now, in a sense, the Genesis reference that I create or will eventually create, right, is almost like the directory above all directories, right? It's almost, in a sense, could be used as a way to define the rules of the Truth Social protocol, and for everyone to agree that they're running the same version of the software, which is different than the subdirectories and rules thereof. Because while you may have to run a few of those subdirectories, such as like clout-based references, right? Every block's going to need to have a clout-based reference, and that's going to be a part of, obviously, is a big part of the Truth Social protocol, right? These ID pop rules, you know, like that's, while you're going to have to run some of those, the decision to voluntarily run the non-mandatory directories is going to be totally up to you, right? So, and I suppose there's a further distinction, right, between a version of the version of the Truth Social protocol and the protocol itself, or a version of the Truth client protocol, I should say, right? In other words, I could be running, or in the sense that I can run an older version of Bitcoin Core and I'm still following the Bitcoin protocol, right? But we're getting a bit ahead and off topic, right? So anyway, as we approach 30 minutes, I am going to wrap it up and continue this in part 5. Peace.